made their way up through the immaculately kept churchyard, in which the heady scent of late summer roses, salvia, phlox, and in particular the buddleias, whose purple flowers were alive with the soporific thrum of bees, tempted and teased noses as effectively as any exclusive French perfumes. Those able to find a seat to rest high heels, recovered from the backs of wardrobes after a summer of comfortable sandals, sat gratefully, turning to nod briefly at acquaintances and neighbours before reaching for the order of service printed on expensive embossed cream card and meticulously laid out on the ancient oak pews in front of them. For those knowing her only by sight or repute, but nevertheless compelled to show their presence in the church, she was, after all, one of them. The transept at the back of the medieval building was thought a fitting gathering place, and the crowd of well-wishers stationed there grew as the church clock tower began laboriously to toll the hour. Grace Stevens, dressed formally but colourfully in a snug-fitting crimson shift dress and a pair of ridiculously high black patent heels, held firmly onto the hands of the beautiful dark-haired, dark-eyed five-year-old boy and the pretty little girl intent on waving and blowing kisses to those she recognised as they followed Harriet Westmoreland's brother, John, down the aisle to the very front of the nave, where friends and family were already filling up the vacant pews. After the warm, bright autumn sunshine of the morning, the interior of the church was both dusky and yet somewhat incongruously filled with dancing dust motes where a shaft of light managed to penetrate the interior through one particularly high stained glass window. Despite leaving the warmth and light behind her, Grace kept her dark glasses in place, releasing her son's hand in order to pat at her eyes behind them as well as, occasionally, consolingly at the arm of Harriet's brother now seated beside her. She made an attempt to pull Pietranella, her four-year-old, onto her lap in order that those still making their way down the aisle might have a seat, but the little girl wriggled from Grace's hands and, instead, wrapped her pudgy fingers through John Burton's arm in its navy suit, bending her head to his bowed face until they were touching, before glancing back in surprise at Grace at the wetness on John's face. Grace's eyes behind the Fendi sunglasses followed Harriet's daughter, Libby, dressed all in black, as befitted the occasion, as she made her way from the front of the church, her sleeping one-year-old son, Lysander, held firmly over one shoulder. Libby's partner, Sebastian Henderson, stopped briefly beside Grace and, with a simple nod, Grace allowed Seb to take Jonty from his seat beside her, clasp the little boy's hand in his own and continue his journey down the aisle to the back of the church, where Libby now stood, head bowed, holding the hand of the older man at her side. Grace looked at her watch, then reached down to pull up Pietranella's white ankle socks before lifting her, bodily, onto her knee and patting Harriet's brother, somewhat ineffectually on his knee. She turned, frowning, towards the still open heavy church doors at the back of the church, where Westonbury's vicar, Ben Carey, stood ushering latecomers to any available seats before signalling to All Hallows organist Daphne Merton to begin. As the first haunting notes of Whitlock's Fidelis rose and carried on up through the crowded church, an almost palpable collective sigh could be heard as the congregation stood, turning slightly to catch a first glimpse of the cortege, now making its way behind Ben Carey to the front of the church. As it passed her, Grace felt the tears well and she let them fall, unhindered, from behind her glasses as her daughter looked up at her in wonder. As the little procession reached its destination, Grace felt someone slip into the space beside her and reach for her hand. "For God's sake, Harriet," Grace whispered crossly as she moved everyone up along the pew. "You'll be damned well late for your own funeral one of these days.